thin, folks.
Lori Garrett, thanks so much for being with us now with the Council on Foreign Relations, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. That does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke, Nicole Saramonte, Steve Martinez, Sam Al-Khafani Massoud. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh. Thanks for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8 o'clock. Coming up next is more talk radio with hosts Celeste Carey and Cecil Prescott. Today's guests are Tracy Manning and Leslie A. Goodlow of the Portland Housing Bureau, and Bishop Stephen Holt, lead pastor of the International Fellowship Family. We'll talk about the North and Northeast Portland neighborhood housing strategies.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Cascade Media Convergence, Friday, September 19th through the 21st at the University of Oregon Turnbull Center, 70 Northwest Coote Street in Portland. The goals of this Cascade Media Convergence are to create a space for media makers to network and share best practices, collectively learn skills, and lay the framework for continued collaboration and plant the seeds toward building a regional grassroots media coalition. There will be workshops, strategy sessions, and space and time for deeper discussions on all aspects of grassroots media. Again, that's the Cascade Media Convergence, September 19th through 21st at the University of Oregon Turnbull Center, 70 Northwest Coote Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Oregon Tradeswoman presentation, My Walk Has Never Been Average, on Friday, September 26th at 7 p.m. My Walk Has Never Been Average is a multimedia presentation based on the lives of women whose stories are rarely told. Adapted for the stage from interviews with Black women in all aspects of construction, these stories reveal great inner strength and accomplishment. That's My Walk Has Never Been Average on Friday, September 26th. 7 p.m. at the Alberta Rose Theater, 3000 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland, Oregon. For more information, that can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Northwest Connector, connecting riders to the Oregon coast through daily round-trip bus routes from Portland, Salem, and Corvallis. Northwest Connector buses are equipped with bike racks and offer 3-day and 7-day passes with transfers up and down the coast. Schedules and trip planner at northwestconnector.net.
Morning. Today is Monday, September 15th, 2015, and you are listening to KBOO Community Radio. This is More Talk Radio. My name is Cecil Prescott.
My name is Celeste Carey, and you're listening to Your Community Connection at 90.7 here in the metro area, 91.9 in Points East along the Columbia River. And if you are in Points South, Corvallis and Philomath, you are listening at 104.3. In the ether, it is www.kboo.fm. Good morning, Monday.
Today, joining us are Tracy Manning and Leslie A. Goodloe of the Portland Housing Bureau, and Bishop Stephen Holt, lead pastor of the International Fellowship Family and member of the Community Advisory Committee to the North-Northeast Neighborhood Housing Strategy.
Wow. Exactly.
And we're talking about the North-Northeast Neighborhood Housing Strategy. The project is a $20 million financing initiative in the North-Northeast Portland over the next 5 years. And the effort is to focus on the Interstate Corridor urban renewal area in response to the community well-documented need for affordable housing and other investments in neighborhoods impacted by displacement.
Displacement, yes. And we say displacement as opposed to gentrification, because if you look at, I guess I'll call it the normal ebb and flow, some measure of gentrification does happen when property and, or rather when people move in and to areas that have lower housing costs and take advantage of the opportunity. Now, by take advantage, I don't necessarily mean in a negative sense. Sometimes you have people who are also, shall we say, just looking for an opportunity to have fertile ground for maybe artistic endeavors or creative energies, and so they look for lower rents. But that usually starts the stages of cascading, which could lead to ultimately displacement, as we have experienced here in Portland. So today we're looking at a response. We're looking at a means of, as Cecil said, creating more affordable housing and hopefully a way to bolster working force environment, working force people to have a family environment. There, I got it out. I had Monday mouth bad.
So let me just start the program by going back a little ways. And I, you know, have nothing better to do with my time, so I was reading the 1993 Albina Community Plan.
Oh, yes, I used to live and breathe that.
And there's a section entitled The Albina Community Looking Back from 2015. And it reads in part, revitalization and growth in Albina has been supported by the Northeast Community Development Corporation, who, with others, have reduced displacement due to gentrification by building new affordable owner-occupied housing and rehabilitating existing housing. New development has occurred, but has been focused on the fully serviced infill lots that exist within the area. So it says, looking back from 2015, so it's only 2014, so.
Mm-hmm. Got a year.
You have a year, so.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was amazing.
So, are we there yet?
And what's the vision now?
So,
it's a big, that's a loaded statement, and two things come to my mind. First one is, I want the information. If you could email that to me, I'd love to be able to respond to it. But from a purist standpoint, the ideal of growing city, of increasing city, of creating tax base and so forth is fully understandable. The problem, however, is that Oregon and Texas are the only two states that do not require builders to have low-income housing. They're the only two states. And so as we begin to look at growth and look at increase, the resulting issue of that has been the natural migration, displacement, removal of families, individuals, and particularly people of color who cannot afford these wonderful new developments that have been going on. That's one problem. The second problem is there are a host of promises that have been made and not kept. So that's the second problem.
So let me just throw this out here as kind of a starter question, because one of the big issues, and something that I read in the documentation page, was the fact that there seems to be no thought given to workforce housing outside of Vanport, historically, in Oregon. So when you say that a state like Oregon and Texas, and it's really bizarre to be lumped with Texas in this case, because it's a state full of people who work very hard. Is there any historical reason given, any policy reason given for the fact that there has not been a focus, institutionalized focus on workforce housing?
So, Tracy Manning, Portland Housing VR, thank you so much for having us. So, Oregon and Texas are the two states that constitutionally don't allow a thing called inclusionary zoning. Not every state does it. Ours has been preempted in our constitution for a host of reasons that I'm hoping that people will take a look at whether or not we want to continue that. And so workforce housing is so important, and it's something that people define really differently. Mm-hmm. So right now, we invest money in affordable housing. We invest local money. We invest federal money in affordable housing. And so, you know, lots of people, when I say things like that, they're like, well, that's great, Tracy. Affordable to who? Mm-hmm. Who is that affordable to? And what is workforce housing?
And what is inclusionary?
Right. Uh-huh. So inclusionary zoning is, so one of the things we do when we say, okay, we've got, I mean, you know, to Bishop Holt's point, there are promises that haven't been kept. And the displacement that's happened in Northeast Portland, you can trace back historically, even before the, you know, the reason that we needed the Albina Plan, to say decades and decades of disinvestment in a community that was a majority communities of color, majority African American, government, you know, policies that accelerated the loss in North Northeast Portland to African Americans in Portland, and decades of redlining, you know, go back to the freeway, go back to the Coliseum. So recognizing that and creating this Albina Plan to say, what do we need to try to do about that? Again, you know, looking at those mistakes and saying, what does the community need? And so, Celeste, to your great question, you know, what we're trying to do now is say, okay, it's, you know, we blew it. Displacement has happened. People who should have had a choice to stay in this community while, you know, nice things were happening. Roads were finally, we're going to get some improved infrastructure here. And we didn't, and who's going to get to enjoy that? Who's going to have the choice to stay, the choice to have workforce housing they can afford? So I think that's, you know, that's the right question to ask. It's not that none has been built. Northeast Community Development Corporation, mm-hmm. while they were around, the great PCRI, you know, folks have done some of it.
Yes.
But so what do we need, you know, what do we, that's the question on the table is, okay, we screwed up. Now what do we need? So, I mean, I'm interested to hear, you know, from your perspective, workforce, what does that look like? Who's the workforce that we need to, you know, that is that the priority in this community? Seems like it.
So this seems to be part of, as you suggest, not a new discussion, but certainly a new chapter. So tell us a little bit about this new chapter. What is this North Northeast Neighborhood Housing Strategy, and tell us about its genesis, its priorities, and how people can become a part of the process?
Well, I'll say a couple things about its genesis and then turn it over to someone else to talk. Leslie's been putting our meetings together, and the bishop's been guiding us what they should look like. But, you know, the genesis of this particular effort was a commitment by Mayor Hales and the City Council and the Commissioner of Housing, Commissioner Dan Saltzman, in support of the PDC Commission, to acknowledge that in order to provide for this need that has been missed, hasn't been provided, to invest an additional $20 million in this geography exclusively for providing more affordable housing. So that was sort of day one. And we put together a stakeholder advisory committee led by Bishop Holt to make sure that we did a good job of that.
Good morning. I'm Leslie Goodlow. I'm the Business Operations Manager at the Housing Bureau, and I have led the process in putting together the forums, of which the first one is this Thursday at Highland Community Center. And our goal is to hear from the public, particularly folks that have been displaced or are at risk of displacement that currently live in the catchment area that we're studying, to find out how they think we should spend this $20 million. Should it be on single-family homes? Should it be on multifamily apartment complexes? Should we spend money on retention for seniors to be able to maintain their homes so that they can pass those homes on to their children and their grandchildren? So the first one is this Thursday, as I said, from 6 to 9, and we are providing childcare and translation and interpretation. There will be dinner provided. We really, really, really would like people to come out and tell us what they think. We're going to have a voting exercise, several suggestions of how to spend the money, and for folks to be able to give us their priorities and suggestions. At the end of the four forums, we're going to put together a report of those recommendations, send that out back out to the people that participated, either if they requested by email, posted on our website, possibly have another forum to discuss what those recommendations are, and then get the buy-off from both the mayor and the city council so that we can go forward in spending this $20 million.
Now, a couple of questions. One is with regard to the area that we're talking about. When you say catchment area, I know some people's ears have pricked and they're thinking, okay, what are the boundaries? Where is this area? And I know we're talking about the interstate corridor, but can you be a little bit more specific for our listeners so those who are directly impacted can feel that resonance?
Yes, just one second. I'm pulling the map up.
The technical boundary is the interstate urban renewal area, and then you sort of get into all these rules about the source of money is tax increment financing, and therefore it can only be spent in the geography where it is generated. So that's the interstate urban renewal area, which is goes sort of along Williams Interstate and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, up to about Columbia, starting at sort of roughly the Moda Center. We've further refined the geography a little bit, and Leslie really led this effort to try to focus on that geography where sort of the census tells us people were most displaced.
So that area goes to 33rd. And up to Columbia, and out to
About Portsmouth,
and then along Willamette Boulevard to down to the freeway.
South down into the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I'm sure for some people there's questions about why this area might be picked. And so in doing some of the reading, I noted that right now, if you look at the different stages that occur that have been recognized as occurring in gentrification, that this area has some of the higher poverty rates, lower income rates, but the property values haven't changed drastically yet. And so is that part of the reason why this area has been selected?
Well, as we looked at the data, we found that the most significant displacement was from these particular neighborhoods and census tracts out of in Northeast Portland into other parts of town, particularly for African American population. Part of the presentation that we're going to do on Thursday is looking at the census data from 1970 to 2010 to see where African Americans were living in 1970. And as you look at that progression, 1990 was the height of African Americans living in this particular area. Right. And then as we get to 2000 and 2010, you see that there's a dramatic decrease. And so that's really how we chose this particular area, is looking at census data and seeing that people had been either forced or through
either voluntarily.
Exactly.
Predominantly involuntary.
And the difference being that voluntary might be the neighborhood ceases to resonate with you. It doesn't feel like your home anymore. So you sell your house and move. Or maybe there's other things that allow you to make a choice or force you to make the choice.
There are so many other dimensions that go into what we're talking about that I think we also have to at least acknowledge. Business opportunities.
Right.
Because black-owned businesses don't exist to a great degree where they used to exist.
Used to.
And therefore the ability to generate revenue so that I can afford a house has been impacted. Mm-hmm. When you talk about workforce housing, and I appreciate your response on that, Tracy, it was great. We have to ask the question, what workforce?
Yes.
The median house right now, the median house price in the Portland metro area is $300,000. Translates to, in today's rate, a mortgage payment of about $1,200 a month. Now, for those who have done this, at one point I was a financial advisor and had to figure out DTI and so forth and so on. Well, that means you're going to have at least $3,100 a month that you're bringing in to be able to afford. If you're going at 40% debt to income ratio, you're going to have to generate $3,100 a month. Who has those jobs? Who are the people that are having that kind of revenue to be able to purchase the median house? And that's the median house. According to information I read just the other day, the current number of price per square foot for a house in the Portland metro area is $239 a square foot. I want you to feel that.
That's a lot.
That's
so
huge.
So if you have what, 10 square feet, you pretty much maxed out. You've
right.
maxed, and that's not
right.
big.
No.
That's not big.
And it's impossible to live in. So,
yes.
So as what we're talking about, I want to put it in another box quickly, and I don't want to play a card, which traditionally has been the race card, but we have to acknowledge that we're dealing with a homogeneous unit, mm-hmm. a homogeneous city, that 75% of our city is Caucasian. And so in designing and defining and planning around urban growth and urban increase, it is easy to forget about the other percentages.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to forget about unrepresented groups. The great thing about this moment is the intentionality to reverse that.
Yes.
It's the acknowledgement that the problem has existed. It's been longstanding. We've got a situation that requires some definite engagement. And so to whoever's listening this morning, I want to encourage you to make the forums. We need you to be at the forums. We need you to share your voice, your thoughts, your strategies, your insights, the things you value, we want to have at the table. One of the problems with us as a people, I'm an African-American man, as if you could not tell by my voice. One of the problems with us as a people is we stand around and complain, but when we have an opportunity to engage, we don't. When we have an opportunity to set policy, we don't show up. but we complain about policies that get established. Well, here's our opportunity to be on the front end of changing policy. And our hope and our goal is that it's beyond our own life cycle, that this doesn't just change in the moment, but that it changes perpetually.
You're listening to More Talk Radio. Our guests today are Leslie Goodloe and Tracy Manning of the Portland Housing Bureau, and Bishop Stephen Holt, lead pastor of the International Fellowship Family and a member of the Community Advisory Committee to the North Northeast Neighborhood Housing Strategy. We want to hear from you, particularly if you are a resident or former resident of North Northeast Portland, and hear your concerns and thoughts. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187, or you may email us at moretalkradio@gmail.com. Maybe you can tell us a little bit more. I know there's a forum on Thursday at Highland Christian Center. Tell us about the other forums or where people can get information or register to attend the forums.
Well, the second forum will be at Matt Dishman Community Center on the September 27th. That's a Saturday. And then the following one will be at Gresham City Hall. We found that
out in the numbers,
mm-hmm. yes, that a significant number of people have been displaced out to East County. And so we wanted to provide opportunity for them to also participate without having to travel a long distance. And then the fourth one will be on October 11th at New Song on MLK. That's a morning session from 9 until noon. And so if folks are looking for information, they can go to our website. They can register if they need interpreters, that they can let us know. They can give us a call at... Do you have that phone number, Tracy?
We'll grab it.
Don't worry about it.
So, and you don't have to register. You can just show up last minute. We're feeding everybody, so we got good food at every forum. Do let us know if you need childcare. If you can't make the forums, there's call us, email us. Tell us you want to just, stay informed. Like, I don't want to go to a forum, but I want to hear what's going on. Great. Get on the email list. Stay in touch on the website. Send us a letter, whatever you'd like to do.
And now, is it your general phone number that's the number, or is there a specific one for this event? If it's your general number, it's the 503-823-2375. Is that it?
That absolutely works.
Okay,
and
great.
Yeah, that works fine.
Okay. And really briefly, I want to say this in regard to Bishop Hope's statement, and then we'll go to our caller. Very often, people feel that they cannot be involved in a process because they're not invited or the process is structured so that it's not welcoming.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I'm hearing you challenge people to come out of their comfort zones and mm-hmm. their fear zones and know that this is a process that is welcoming. And more importantly, you must take advantage because it's not often that you get opportunities where a lot of the hurdles to civic engagement have been addressed.
Absolutely.
So you've heard this child care. You've heard that they've located it where people live, where the Black community lives and has been the impacted community lives. You hear that they're on transportation nodes and there will be food. So your voice is expected. No, I take that back. Your voice is required.
This is for your
future and for your family's future. To get more information or to join us in the conversation, the phone number is 503-231-8187, and we'll go to Good morning, Leah.
Good morning. Thank you very much for this program. I am a former member or resident of Northeast North Portland. I lived over on Michigan Avenue years ago, and my daughter was born in a house that I lived in over there under the rent-to-own program. I moved out because my house was bought, quote unquote, by a slumlord, or he sold it to someone else who showed up my door one day and said, you know, I own the house now and I paid the rent. It was one of the older homes, and I fixed it up. But I loved living over there. I had a lot of diversity, people around me. I learned so much about how to survive, how to grow chickens, how people had pigs in their backyards. I shopped at Johnny's Market. I was able to live in a much more sustainable. Right now, I live in East County. I am an elder. I'm a member of the East Portland Action Plan's Housing Committee, so I have had contact with Tracy. And, you know, we're facing the same issues out here. So I am going to come to the forums. Excellent. And listen and participate as a way to hopefully bring that energy out here. But I just love North Portland. I have an African-American grandson. You know, I would love to move back, but I can't afford to move back there. But I it was great. I really enjoyed it. And I was sorry not to be able to live there for a while. Okay?
Well, you are the exact person we're wanting to come to the forum. You're the exact voice we need to hear from. You speak to what are the issues that help us address so that if you want to move back, you can move back. So
yeah, thanks so much for calling. Because you raise such, and thanks for meeting us out in East Portland, too.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You know, color raised such an important issue, Leah, which is that when we first heard that this money was going to be appropriated, we spent a lot of time just going out in the community and having sort of one-on-one conversations about, you know, how do we do this right? How do we do it differently than government's done it before? And, you know, where should we focus? And the thing we heard over and over was about people just like her who didn't have choice, right? Mm-hmm. So you talked about voluntary and involuntary. If you're a renter, you have no choices, right? You're largely, I mean, yes, landlord-tenant law, mm-hmm. but if your rent goes up and you can't find another place, I mean, forget the average cost of a home in the city of Portland. We all know the cost of a home in this geography is way higher than average. Mm-hmm. The rents are higher than average. The rents are going up crazy. So, you know, one of the things we were really urged was to think about those people who don't have a choice to come back or to stay. And renters are at very high risk. People who are on fixed incomes and are struggling to keep their homes up don't have a lot of choices.
So I'm hearing a lot of passion and awareness of what has happened and what are some of the difficulties and problems in the past. How do you respond to those who said, I've heard this before, this is just another round of the same thing? Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned the Albina Community Plan of 1993, and, you know, our mayor was on the city council at that point in time. And you mentioned, you know, going back to the Coliseum, Vanport, on and on. How is this different? And Bishop, you know, I've been through this before.
Yeah.
Why should I become involved?
Yeah, that's a great question and a reasonable question.
And that's why I stay away from the table.
And that's why I stay absolutely well stated and very accurate. I think three things. First of all, we've never had $20 million allocated to address the issue. Let me back up. We've not acknowledged that there was an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So ownership says something about this is different. Second thing, there's money being allocated toward it, $20,000. That's different. Third thing that's different is there are these talking opportunities. There are opportunities to engage in this process with behind it an accountability group to help facilitate, follow up, make sure that the things that are talked about get walked out. And I'll be on that particular group. So this moment is different from my perspective. I almost said it this way. The reason why it didn't happen, Bishop Holt wasn't part of it.
That works. We'll take that. But we want to also take your calls. So if you've got questions, if you're curious, give us a call, 503-231-8187. And $20 million on one hand is more than it's ever been allocated before in the city. But $20 million is not a lot of money. So I'm really aware of why it's so important to get community input. But what type of sustainability is going to be built into this effort? Is it a quote-unquote flash in the pan? And that's not any way to denigrate or diminish what you're doing, but I know there's a lot of people thinking, well, $20 million, so what is that?
Anyone who understands the cost of building,
yes,
you can, $20 million can go into one building.
It doesn't even go in one building. Sometimes by the time you spend for permits and, and certificates and everything else, you know, okay, that's put a big dent in the $20 million.
Right.
So what is the financial plan for this? How will this effort be sustained, or is it a short-term effort with just a bit of money, and those who are lucky enough to get into it or into it, and that's it? And I realize there's only a set amount of land too that you can protect. That's another issue.
Yeah, no, without a doubt, it's a great point. $20 million can sound like a lot of money, and we'll leverage other money with it, right? So you'll get bank loans, or you'll get, but regardless of all of that, it's not enough. It won't even be close to enough. So, you know, a couple things that we know to do, that we're doing, getting guidance from others, is first of all to make sure that the economic benefit of building this housing stays as much as we can in the community. So something Maxine Fitzpatrick is always reminding us, the executive director of PCRI, is that housing development can be, if you do it well, economic development. So
yes.
who gets the jobs, right, that are created when you build something? Those are good jobs. They can be, you know, construction industry can be, over time, a really great way to raise the money you need to have a family and have your own home. You know, what businesses participate in these projects? What kind of social capital gets built up around there? And then, you know, and who gets to live in those units? So one of the things we're trying to look at, Housing Commissioner Dan Saltzman asked our attorney's office and some folks at HUD, can we legally create a right to return? So that the people, again, you know, looking at who benefits, so that the people who live in these units and even those other units that already exist, could they be people who used to live in this geography and were displaced? And then, you know, sort of learning how to do things differently about keeping people in their homes. And you know, the work here won't be enough, and it won't be done. And if we don't apply what we've learned to the next neighborhood, right? So Cully neighborhood has a great group of grassroots organizations called Living Cully. You know, the callers, you know, they're looking in East Portland. Eyes wide open, it could happen again. It will happen again if, you know, and who's going to benefit and who's going to get hurt? And how do we apply those lessons?
If you are currently or a former resident of North Northeast Portland, give us a call and share your thoughts. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187 or email us at moretalkradio@gmail.com. Now, you know, if you're not a current resident or...
Or you still have questions.
No question. Mm-hmm. You can give us a call as well. Let me remind you that you are listening to KBOO, and at 9 is the OMO Variety Hour. Bill Resnick and Pat O'Heron talk about the relationship between climate change and public health. At 10, Air Cascadia is off today, so instead we will hear Between the Lines with a look at a community pulling together to offer clean water to families affected by natural gas fracking pollution, and an interview about the campaign for a constitutional amendment reversing the Citizen United ruling. At 10:15, Locus Focus.
Well, oh, you know, commentary. We covered that, you know, so I'm interested in that.
Okay, well, stay tuned.
Uh-huh.
At 10:15 on Locus Focus, Barbara Bernstein speak with environmental reporter Mark Schleifstein about the impending disaster facing Louisiana and possible solutions that could mitigate some of the damage inflicted by canals, drilling, dredging, and fracking. At 11 on Health Watch, Dr. David Naiman speak with Dr. Lonnie Simpson about her book, Dr. Lonnie's No-Nonsense Bone Health Guide. And at 11:30 on Radio Zine, Kristen Yelt speaks with Peter Spindelow, the president of Northwest Veg, and Bonnie Hildebrand, event coordinator, about the upcoming Veg Fest, the environmental impacts of food choices and the benefit of plant-based diets. No amen?
That's good.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
That one right there was
plant
good.
Strong.
Absolutely.
Yay, okay. Plant strong.
Okay. Hey, thank you, KBOO members, for your support. If you're not a KBOO member, you can go to kboo.fm and click on the donate today. Right now, you're listening to More Talk Radio. My name is Cecil Prescott.
My name is Celeste Carey. And we're looking for your calls now. It is 8:39, and we know often people are fascinated by what they hear, and they kind of forget to call to the last minute. So get your call in now, because we know that there are questions. And as Bishop Hope said, you know, you got to come to the table. You've got to ask your question. And we know this is an issue that has concerned the community at quite a few different levels, from grassroots efforts all the way up to organized and neighborhood institutions, such as former guests on the show, PALF. You know, so if you are someone who is either concerned about that opportunity for returning or would like to find more information, please do give us a call here, 503-231-8187, and join in the conversation. So I know that this effort, you're trying to get the information out. Is there a timeline? And by timeline, I mean like a real serious timeline in which this has to be addressed, and what is the nature of that timeline or that deadline?
There isn't a deadline, other than Mayor Hales and Commissioner Saltzman have made it very clear to me that they want to move quickly. That they, you know, we do have a tendency to process, and they have made it very clear that that's not something we're going to do with this. Is have a lot of process. So Leslie referred to the work that we're doing with the community and doing a report. And there's a lot of reports. They're all on the website that have been done in the past. And yes, there's going to be a report, because we need to go out back to people and say, did we get it right? We think we heard you. Here's what we think we heard. Were we right? Take that to City Council, and they're going to ask us to act immediately. So we'll get our report from the community to City Council before the end of the year, late fall. And then, you know, start putting the money out the door next year.
Hey, and you can go to portlandoregon.gov/PHB to find out all this information that you need to know about the North and Northeast Neighborhood Housing Strategy.
Or you can just do a search on North Northeast Neighborhood Housing Strategy if your fingers don't want to do all that typing.
Let's go to our next caller. Melinda, thank you.
Good morning, Melinda. Hello.
Hello. Yes. I wanted to thank you. I think it's so important that you're talking about this and getting this information out about the forms. But I was wondering, are these only for African American residents that live in that area? Or is this, I mean, I hear so much about why are there so few African Americans that live in the Portland area? And the implications sometimes seem like these problems are related to, I don't know, like maybe there's the racial component. So I was just wondering if the forums are open to Caucasians as well that you're particularly talking about.
Yes, ma'am. The forums are open to anyone that would like to attend or has concern or questions or would like to give input about how we spend this $20 million. So please come if you're interested. Have something great to eat, hear what's going on, and give us your opinion. We'd really like to hear from you.
We know.
Well, I'm just amazed by the number of, when we talk about gentrification, well, if we're talking about some of those more dense apartments that are going up, and these blocks that are of just square buildings that are going up and down interstate. It's just, I don't know. I think it's ruining the whole ambience of the area, and it will have big implications for the livability of the area. And I don't know. I mean, I'm very grateful that there's some focus, at least in your talk, about single-owned homes, I think.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Melinda, for making that point. And, you know, people at risk of displacement in this community, it's absolutely been related to issues of race and has overly impacted the African-American community by far. And we know it impacted other people and will continue to. So we've got flyers about all of the forums in Vietnamese and Spanish on our website. Translation is available. And the other thing, that the statistics that Leslie was talking about, that where you can actually see from the census data where people have moved from and to in the African American community starting in 1970, we have that same information on our website for other communities as well, Latino Hispanic population, as well as the Native American population and other populations that have been impacted. So absolutely hear you. Absolutely would love to hear from people who want to share about this.
The one thing that I might say is I had an elderly cousin whose house was on North Kirby, and I ended up having to be a personal representative for her estate. And I do know that the crime rate in that area, I know that it's a transitional area now, and it's probably one of the, at least a few years ago, was one of the places where there was more affordable housing in the whole area of Portland. But the crime rate, and that the crime rate was more under control, but that was, had been for some years, a very highly gang-infested area. And I don't know if you ever include some of that in your statistics as far as, you know, those things cause people to leave too, or to try to leave.
So I think thank you, Melinda, for calling. So all of these concerns are welcome to be talked about in these community meetings, are they not?
You are correct.
Yeah. Hey, okay. Hey, thank you, Melinda, for sharing.
Yes, but thank you again. Bye.
And we'll go to our next caller. Good morning, Harry.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. Earlier in the show, you were mentioning the cost of owning a house. The mortgage and the price of owning a house. How I got displaced or gentrified was maintaining the house. I had a house in Northeast Portland that after 15 years would need quite a bit of repair. I mean, painting in and out, need a new roof. Of course, in that time, you have to replace the carpeting, all the appliances, and, you know, furniture, everything. I was looking at $50,000 to $60,000. So I sold and got a condo because I was disabled, because I couldn't really afford to take out another second mortgage or everything to maintain my house. So do you have any programs, or will you be discussing that, how to maintain a house for elderly or disabled people?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so first of all, those are exactly the kind of comments we're hoping to get. And, you know, we will include KBOO call-in as part of, enter that into the record as part of our comments. So thank you, Harry. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Particularly people, like you say, living with disabilities, seniors, people on fixed incomes. We do currently have some home repair programs that are designed for exactly, you know, the sort of situation that you're talking about. But we've, you know, the thing that we work through community partners. We don't do it directly. We work with folks in the community that are in touch with people in the community. And I think you raise a really important point about education. And our community partners are good at that. The churches can be good at that. But it's also having the resource, right? So you were smart in some ways, right? You didn't take out another mortgage and sort of dig yourself deeper in the hole. But how do we, so it's the resource, to help people in a fixed income situation and also the education. We have some of that, but you know, part of the question on the table is, are we doing, given the amount of money available, do we have, you know, are we spending it in the right places?
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, and please do attend the forum.
And the first forum is this Thursday?
Yes, this Thursday, 6 o'clock at Highland Christian Center.
76th and Gleason?
Yes.
And let's go to our next caller.
Marianne. Good morning, Marianne.
Well, good morning, Celeste and Cecil and your guests. And I've been prompted to call in because I am a North Portland resident. I've been living here since 1992. Mm-hmm. And I'm about to be, what is it, not gentrified, displaced.
Displaced, yes.
And I am a white woman of education, but not means. And was divorced 10 years ago, and instead of buying our home, we got a divorce. And our landlord sold our house and made over $100,000 profit, and he relocated to Florida. And I've had to continue for the last 10 years as a single divorced person with little means, and I have had three landlords, 3 months of no houselessness altogether, and all the landlords were the worst scum lords I've ever had to deal with in my life. I've had to live in, be treated like a second class person, and I've been dealing with unbelievable harassment and abuse, and lately mold of extreme proportions and a roof that leaks, and only recently a porch was replaced after 5 years of degradation beyond belief. A friend of mine fell through the porch even, and I am now going to CAT, the Organization for Tenants, and I am seeking legal counsel, and any
Good.
Help you can give me or guidance,
well,
I'm greatly appreciative. I'm
Come to the forum. Two things I want to point out. One is you can talk with and work with Community Alliance of Tennessee, or GREAT. I've had an opportunity to take advantage of their services myself. Don't forget that you can also call the city's code enforcement. Compliance.
Okay,
and the phone number for that is 503-823-CODE, C-O-D-E. And the Community Alliance of Tenants can help you to a degree with that. But when you're dealing with structural problems, when you're dealing with mold and health and livability issues, mm-hmm. that's something that you really want to take advantage of. Rather, you want to take care of by going to the regulatory bodies. Now, the mm-hmm. next thing is, come to the forum so you can learn what opportunities there are for housing otherwise. Maybe you'll run into someone that can give you some information about better housing in addition to finding out about returning maybe to the area or getting some additional information. But come to the forum, because our guests here today, they're not necessarily those who deal with code issues, and I hear you speaking about that as a current problem.
It is the current problem, yes, and I am just grateful to have this phone number.
Let me give you another phone number, and this one is for the city and county information and referral. It's 503-823-4000. And when you need assistance from a city or a county agency and you don't know who to call, that's who you call. That's better than Ghostbusters.
Thank you so much, Celeste.
Okay.
And I will hang up for now. And
come to the forum.
I will. I have to.
Okay.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're Bye-bye. Welcome.
So if you're unable to come to the forum this Thursday at Highland Christian Center, you can come the next week on Saturday, 9:27 at 1 p.m. at the Matt Dishman Community Center. On Thursday, October 9th at 6 at the Gresham City Hall, and Saturday, October 11th, at 9 a.m. at the New Song Community Church. Is that on MLK?
On MLK.
MLK, okay. Right. And Russell, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to our next caller. LJ, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Cecil. Hi, Celeste. How
are
you?
Hey, LJ.
Thanks for the dialogue. Okay, just a couple of quick questions. Can you define affordable?
That's a good question.
That's a great question. It's relative.
I mean, because I remember that when they first when Vera decided to develop the Pearl, there was supposed to be affordable housing units that was supposed to be made available to people. When the South Waterfront was being
developed. LJ, we're short of time, so ask your questions. Yeah. Right.
When the South Waterfront was being developed, there was supposed to be affordable housing. So define affordable. Affordable for who? And I'll take my answers off the air.
All right. Thanks for a good question.
I can actually answer that question. So the money is only allowed. The City Council put it in the set aside for affordable housing, and it is defined in that set aside for rental housing. They 60% of median income, which in our community in Portland, that's $29,000 for a household of one, or for a household of four, $41,640. So you have to be at or below that income to be for the rental housing, and then for the homeownership housing, it's 100% of median income, which in our community right now. For a family of four, is $69,400. Once again, all on the website, but at or below those levels of income is what we're considering affordable for this money.
And let's see.
Let's see if we can get to one more caller. Brooke?
Good morning, Brooke.
Hello. I guess my concern is this whole issue of affordability, because while I was still working, I was and thought I might, you know, since there were programs for people to buy houses, I tried to qualify for affordable housing, but I always made just a little bit too much to mm-hmm. quite qualify. Mm-hmm. So now I'm retired and elderly, and I have been struggling for about 3 years now to get on lists to find affordable housing for low-income retirees, mm-hmm. and I find the whole picture so confusing. It's taken a long time to try to figure out how the system works, and I'm wondering if the city, in fact, has data and statistics on how, a sense of what the needs are in the city, mm-hmm. and how to make affordable housing more accessible, because for the last 3 years,
it's been very difficult.
Yeah. They're all closed.
Sure. We're running short of time, and 30-second, if you can answer that question.
No, it's
important.
A great question.
Just out of time.
Yeah, so what we know is that there's nowhere near enough housing, and that is one of the things that makes it so difficult to access, is that there just isn't enough. And that's one of the reasons that we're here, and we're so thankful to Celeste and Cecil and KBOO for having us on. But you're right. The statistics, there's a need at the very lowest incomes for 20,000 units. So hopefully we can make a dent.
We do want to hear your voice. We do want, for those of you who can, to attend the forum. There will be four of them. Please make an effort if you can. Bring friends with you who are also affected. This coming Thursday, and again, it's going to be from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Highland Christian Center, and that's 7600 Northeast Gleason. And we want to thank... now you knocked. All I got is first names.
Leslie, Tracy, and Bishop
for coming in and telling us about the North Northeast Neighborhood Housing Strategy.
Thank you for having us.
It's been a pleasure. This is your Community Connection, KBOO Portland. And stay tuned. We've got more news and information that you can use.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Portland Veg Fest, Saturday, September 27th and Sunday, September 28th from 10 to 6 p.m. at the Oregon Convention Center in Portland. Portland Veg Fest, Oregon's largest vegan food and lifestyle event, offers resources, entertainment, and community building to celebrate sustainable, healthy, and compassionate food choices. Speakers this year include author Dr. Joel Furman, pastry chef Fran, and the author of the Paleo Vegan Cookbook, Ellen Jaffe Jones. Again, that's the Portland Veg Fest, Saturday, September 27th and Sunday, September 28th at the Oregon Convention Center, 777 Northeast MLK Jr. Boulevard in Portland. More can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. I am Joe Clement, your host for the Old Mole Variety Hour on September 15th. The Old Mole is kind of a smorgasbord, a political magazine and radio form where we bring thinkers and doers on. Today, Bill Resnick is going to be talking with Pat O'Hearn, who is an emergency room physician, about the relationship between public health and climate change. They consider the consequences of neglecting and even abusing the natural and human infrastructure, but they also focus on large and small-scale changes that are within our grasp. It is starting to come upon the harvest season, in the Northern Hemisphere anyway, and Fran Michel is going to be bringing us